Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, time now for the watch list, our guide to the best film and TV for the week ahead. And I'm joined today by Irish Times arts journalist Nadine O'Regan and entertainment journalist and host of the Screenland podcast, Brian Lloyd. Brian, Spinal Tap 2, mm-hmm. The End Continues.
Yes.
I think everyone really wants you to tell us that this is good.
It is good.
To live up to. Okay.
Yes, it is. No, absolutely. Now, I mean, look, is it as good as the original? No, it isn't. But what was ever going to be? Because as we recall, Spinal Tap essentially created the mockumentary genre. So Rob Reiner has come back, the original cast have come back, and they've got a few new cameos along the way. Paul McCartney and Elton John have fairly significant roles in this. I mean, they're playing sort of exaggerated versions of themselves, but it's essentially about them kind of coming in and helping them try to get ready for their one last reunion tour. They're playing a concert venue in Louisiana New Orleans, I should say, that got a cancellation last minute because it was originally supposed to have an evening with Stormy Daniels. Right there. I mean, that's what you're up against. I really enjoyed this. I found this so funny, so enjoyable, so entertaining, so many great jokes in it, and so many kind of continuations on from the original sort of ones as well. The big one being Stonehenge. They finally get the proper size Stonehenge. Like the last scene of the film is it lowering down and then, spoiler alert, crushing Elton John underneath it. So
okay, excellent. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues in cinema. So even the title, The End
That's
continues.
It, come on, yeah, like, it's yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Like.
Nadine, Downton Abbey, the grand finale. I don't have as high hopes for this. It's in cinemas now.
Well, you know what? Like, Downton Abbey, for people who enjoy it, and I must confess, I have enjoyed it over the years.
Brian,
come on now. You're coming at it from a very prejudiced perspective, it has to be said. If you like beautiful clothes, very strongly defined notions around class and the sort of that particular age and the aristocracy, and you're very happy to look on as beautiful people go to beautiful balls, there's a certain sumptuous pleasure in Downton Abbey that, you know, really cannot be denied.
And is this an ending? Does it
kind of... Julian
Fellows, you get a satisfactory ending.
It's a tear jerky. You know, the thing that I kind of found very annoying about this, it's a bit of a souffle of a final installment. Mary, Michelle Dockery, is facing social disgrace because she's gotten divorced and she has been left out in the cold, and she's only receiving the love of her servants and her family. Friends won't come to the house anymore, the house Downton Abbey.
The servants really loved them,
Exactly.
I have the love of my servants.
And yes, there's a winding up of sorts as they approach sort of the new era where, you know, they consider buying a flat, an apartment in London, selling some of their property because bad financial decisions have been made. And there are an awful lot of lingering shots as a
so
different...
So fans will not be disappointed. Is that what is...
What I'm... No.
Fans
look,
will only
look,
be mildly disappointed.
I will say that I sort of enjoy these films, but this one is not as tightly scripted as the previous film. There's an awful lot of lingering shots of, you know, retiring servants and, you know, looking to the future, and
just indulgent.
Okay, we got it. Downton Abbey,
Portraits
the grand
of Maggie.
Finale.
So you will probably go and see it. It is grand.
Okay, grand. Brian, you've been to see The Long Walk also in cinemas now. I've seen it called the best Stephen King adaptation in years.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. And I mean, if you want to get really technical about it, it was a Richard Bachman book. Do you remember that series of books that Stephen King wrote under a pseudonym? This was one of the first ones. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this. It's a fantastic cast in this. Cooper Hoffman, who is the son of Paul, Philip Seymour Hoffman, is in there. David Johnson plays his companion in it. Mark Hamill plays the villain. He's this major. The film and the book is essentially about a totalitarian government has taken over America and leads this sort of death march every year where 50 young men are basically told to walk until one of them survives. If they fall below 3 miles an hour, they're warned. Second time they fall behind 3 miles an hour, they're shot dead. And you know, like King wrote this in response to the televised draft during the Vietnam War, and this idea of, you know, people who would never cross paths being forced into uncomfortable circumstances and then trying to survive it. Brutal. I mean, it is very,
very grim.
Yeah, it's very, very grim. And it's directed by Francis Lawrence, who previously did The Hunger Games. So, like, he has kind of familiarity with the subject, but it is a lot more extreme than The Hunger Games. This is not, you know, family-friendly fare at all.
Okay, but really good. Yeah.
But really, yeah, really, really worth
the
watch.
The Long Walk in cinemas now. Okay, so let's, we'll hurry up a bit now and get through the TV stuff, because there's a lot of interesting stuff here. Nadine, The Morning Show, back on Apple TV for a fourth season.
The Morning Show, I can't believe I'm excited
us.
About this after. Well, the thing is, come on, the second season was so... you get whiplash from the plot developments. You know, I mean, if, for people who aren't familiar with it, it's Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon. They are trying to survive and thrive in the sort of bitchy world of daytime news programming, and their co-host, well, they were co-hosts at a certain point of a morning show. And the second season brought us through the pandemic. Steve Carell was there, and then, you know, he wasn't. And now this fourth season sees them back. You know, they're back helming different programs. And AI is looming, threatening to destroy everyone's jobs. There's conspiracy theories. Jeremy Irons is in the first episode. And I'm, you know, I am, like, there's an embargo till Tuesday, so I'm not allowed to say too much. But I will say, like, this program, even if it's ludicrous, it's very watchable.
Yeah, good, glossy fun. Mm. Absolutely. So back on Apple TV on Thursday. Brian Katie Hannah's new series of The Record Show starts on RT1 at 6:30 tonight and on the RT player. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's a lovely, this lovely warm meandering kind of journey through the National Archives. It starts off talking about a note from Charles Haughey, I should say, about, you know, his displeasure about a state banquet, and then it goes from that. Then
the pâté was in
yeah, that's it. The pâté was inedible, of course, and him, you know, being a famous gourmand and, you know, eating at the Coquardie and all the rest of it. But it goes from that then into the state visit of Queen Elizabeth, and they bring in the chef, discuss the menu that he concocted.
That was Ross
for
Lewis.
That. Yeah, and then talks about how they had to bring in, like, mayo butter at the last minute because they'd left out Enda Kenny, apparently. Then it goes from that into how the Shamrock ceremony for the White House became this kind of international incident at one point, and there was this bureaucrat called Nicholas Nolan, who was also Meticulous Nicholas and then also Ridiculous Nicholas, about he was peeved about he was jumped over by John Hearn, who was the Irish ambassador.
So for people with a reeling in the ear shaped hole in their lives,
very much so. Yeah,
excellent.
Very much.
The Record Show.
Yeah, and Katie Hannon's a great host of it as well. So,
okay,
yeah.
RT1, 6:30 tonight, and it's on the player. Nadine, Black Rabbit coming to Netflix on Thursday. We keep this brief enough. Would you Jude Law and Jason Bateman. Yeah. I'm in. Is it good?
Jude Law is great in this. He runs a popular New York restaurant called Black Rabbit, and he's got great ambitions to own more premises, become even bigger. But his brother returns from Reno, bringing a heap of trouble with him. I'm giving away nothing here. When we first meet Jason Bateman's character, Vince, he literally runs over a guy because the guy has tried to steal his stamp collection. I mean, he's ruthless. He's portrayed is charismatic and mischievous, but actually the trouble with this particular 8-part series is that maybe he's a bit too ruthless, because he's presented as being so wayward that you can't understand why Jude Law's character is welcoming him home with open arms. So Jude Law is great to watch in this. It's incredibly stylish, a lot of very gloomy shots, dark New York club, you know, very kind of authentic feel to it, and you'd watch it for the big names and for the style. Elements of the script are very I think it could have been improved.
Okay, but we're all going to watch it
look,
anyway.
Black Rabbit, you'll sit down and have a look.
Yeah, okay, Netflix on Thursday. Brian, also on Netflix now is a 2-part documentary, a.k.a. Charlie Sheen. I did not know he's been sober for 7 years.
For seven years, and he's been
apologising now. Is it basically what this is about?
This is it, yeah. There's an element of, like, tour of contrition going on here, and he has a book out as well that kind of... kind of takes the same sort of topics. I would say this is very much all the cards are on the table. I mean, his previous drug dealer is a guest on this and discusses how, you know, Charlie would, you know, partake of crack cocaine on a regular basis and would destroy hotel rooms for fun. Denise Richards, again, gives a very, very open and honest interview, talks about how, you know, there were three Charlie Sheens in her life, the one she met, the one she married, and then the one she divorced. And, you know, John Cryer, who was his castmate in Two and a Half Men, is in there as well. And again, is very, very open and honest.
Okay, it sounds
about,
actually good, does it? Yeah. If you don't like him.
Do you know what? It's the kind of thing of, like, you kind of hate yourself for liking him because he's a terrible person. Yeah, like, he really was, like, a bad, bad person. But at the same time, he is trying to be contrite. He is being, you know, almost too honest about his failings. But, you know, he's trying to reintroduce himself. He, like I said, he's done the work. By all accounts, he's gone to therapy. He's kind of exorcised his demons. His father,
Martin, it's only two parts, so it's not a huge investment.
But I mean, it's 90 minutes a piece, like, and it's full on 90 minutes. Like, you're in, like, so.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Netflix Now, two-part documentary, aka Charlie Sheen. Nadine, tell us about Ciolán Gray, which is a new series about Irish music. It starts on TG Cahir at 9:30 tonight.
Yeah, Nelni Cronin is a singer and musician. She takes viewers on a journey through Ireland, and it's a four-part series, and she's really looking at, I suppose, traditional Irish music through the lens of, I suppose, the land. And in this, the first episode, she talks to a lot of people who would be farmers and also play music, or like they're like, she literally goes to their place of work, she's digging the spuds with them, and then they'll play a song, or they'll just have a chat at the kitchen table. Her own parents are interviewed, and it's very lovely. It's low key, homespun, gentle kind of documentary, and I suppose it shows Ireland in a light that sometimes we need to see more of.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a thing that strikes you, that could have been niche 5 years ago, but now that kind of a program, even talking to Mancon McGann yesterday.
Oh, Mancon's interview.
There's been that huge upswell in all of that.
And,
kind
you know,
of
sometimes, so. I mean, it's a very basic thing to say, but like sometimes I'd watch those programmes, and to get a bit of the Irish language back, you know, because they're talking in Irish and English, you sort of feel like, okay, oh, I remember that phrase. I know, you know, it kind of brings up
Gray.
The old days.
Okay, TG Cahir, 9:30 tonight. Brian Lloyd and Nadine Regan, thank you so much. That's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTÉ Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.